following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
God, you're so good. Lord, you are so gracious to us. And Lord, we do have joy in you. Sometimes we'd even say an indescribable joy. It seems like even in the midst of struggles and trials, Lord, you still allow us to have that joy through our relationship with you. And Lord, this morning, as we think about Pastor Bill and in the way that you've used the shepherd over the years here locally and Lord abroad, all over the place actually, Lord, would you just use it again on this next journey that he's on? Lord, as he shares it with people, would people come to know you? Would they relate with that shepherd? And would they, in some ways, Lord, that morning or whenever he does it, even the evening times, Lord, just give their lives to you? Would they, like never before, Lord, people receptive to the gospel, Lord, would they be used by you in a powerful way? And we pray that same thing over this morning, too, as we gather together here as a family. Lord, we desire that you would speak to us. Lord, that maybe you would mold and shape us in a way that we didn't anticipate this morning. Lord, and we know that happens by the power of your Spirit and your Word. So, Lord, speak to us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just in case, there may be a thought of, well, I thought we were in Mark this morning. I was hoping to find out how Mark ends, right? Well, we will get back into Mark after the Christmas season. For the Christmas season, over the next couple of weekends, we are going to start a series called Awe and Wonder. Awe and wonder is where we're going to try to sit and rest in and meditate on. One of the thoughts I had, and maybe you've had this before in your life, has there ever been a moment where you would say, I didn't anticipate how big it was, but when I saw it, it brought some level of awe and wonder? Think about it for a second. I know it's, well, we'll get a little later. You can think now, right? Think about, in your life, has there ever been a moment where you saw something, maybe it was in nature, or maybe it was the size of a building, and you thought, whoa, I did not anticipate that would have been so big. One of those areas for me, and it's actually a local thing here, it's in Newport, and it's on the beaches. Have you ever been down before to the Wedge when it was like just firing, when it was huge? Have you ever seen that before? The magnitude and the size of that wave, and the fact that it's like landing in very little water, and the first thought you have is, you're crazy for being out there, people, right? But the second thought is, wow, you can almost feel it, the power and the magnitude of that wave. To some level, it does bring awe and wonder as you see it up to 30 feet high. And you could go down there maybe today and it's like 6 feet or 5 feet, but sometimes it gets to be 30. It's quite incredible. Imagine this though. You're in Nazaré, Portugal, and you see this wave, right? Somewhere, some people say between 80 to 100 feet high. Imagine the magnitude and the power of that wave. Imagine standing there on that building and the awe and wonder. And you're still wondering, what in the world are you doing on that wave? Why would you ride that thing, right? Jet skied in on that wave. Somebody told me this morning they have to be going like, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour to get onto that wave. And they get onto it, and then it's just them and the wave. Crazy, right? I mean, if you get a chance, Nazaré, Portugal, look at that on YouTube, and it looks like this little tiny ant, right, is on this wave just trying to balance as they're cutting across this massive giant of a wave. Now, I would just say, if you and I were standing there, this is what we're talking about when we say awe and wonder. Wow. Now, think about this for a second. There's a God who created that wave. There's a God who is more powerful than that wave. Even though in our estimation, in our little, maybe you would say ant minds, right? We think, wow, that's a huge wave. But there's a God who created that wave. In fact, that God created the heavens and the earth. Ponder that for a second. Think about it. That God is so powerful, he is deserving of our awe and wonder. He's certainly deserving of 3 weeks of us talking about awe and wonder as it pertains to him. Now, I wanted to give us a context for wonder. Here's the definition of wonder. It's a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration, right? Sprinkled with admiration, caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or unexplainable. Look at a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration. As you stand in front of that wave and you see the size of it and the magnitude and the power, there's a level of admiration given to that wave. Now, shouldn't, as we think about the living God, right? Shouldn't we give him a level of admiration if he is the creator of all things, the heavens and the earth and the universe and all that is in it? In fact, if you would, I wanted to show you a guy who sat down and started writing. And as he thought about the awe and wonder of God, here's what he wrote in Psalm 139. Think about this. Here's what he says. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Sitting there writing, thinking, God, you created me. You knit me together. Your works are wonderful. Look what he goes on to say. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And listen to this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In other words, as he's pondering and thinking of the wonder of God, he's not only thinking that you created me, but you've set a path for me in my life. You've ordained my days. You wrote it out. You knew it full well. And then he goes on to say, how precious to me are your thoughts, God, that you even think about me. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. When the psalmist writes this down, when he thinks about the awe and wonder of God, he says, you created me, you set the path for my life, and even today, you still think of me. How vast are the thoughts you have for me? That's powerful. That's wonderful. Then he goes on, one more psalm, Psalm 145. He says this, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, look at that, no one can fathom. God, you are so great. We can't even wrap our minds around how great you are. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Dad talks to son. Son then has a son and tells son the other son. And so on and so forth from generation to generation that God is so good. He is so good that I need to tell generation to generation. They tell each other. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And listen, I love this. And we're going to come back to this a couple times this morning. He says, I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will think on, I will consider on a regular basis your wonderful works. Guess what that generates inside of me? Awe and wonder. When I think about the things that you have done in my life, we sang it this morning. As I ponder over the things that you have done in my life and I think about them and I think about who you are and the characteristics of who God is, it generates inside of me awe and wonder. In fact, here's what they do. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Now, here's the thing that we're bumping into. The question could come from you, well, what happens? What happened that there's an all-time low in church attendance, that people are reading their Bibles less than ever before, and people are living apart from God and walking away from him. So how could God be that great? How could he be so great? How could he be what the psalmist said if people aren't walking with him at a high level like never before? And I would just tell you, the deficiency is not in him. In other words, by the end of today, this cell phone battery will be dead. I'll have to recharge it again because over the course of the day and me using it, and us going on about our day. How many of you guys have a cell phone battery that only lasts half the day, right? You got an old cell phone battery. You got to fix it, right? Because it's diminishing over time. It's losing power as it goes. But here's the incredible thing about God. He hasn't lost an ounce of power or glory or majesty. From all the way back in the beginning of time, God has never lost. There's no deficiency in him. So what's the problem? Why are people no longer seeking after him or coming to gather together with the assembly of the body of Christ or spending time in his word? And I'd only have to look at myself and say there's a deficiency in me. There's a deficiency in us in this area of awe and wonder. And I would suggest to you this morning, there is a battle for your wonder. There's a battle for my wonder. That the enemy loves to get in and distract and move you away from any level of awe and wonder as it pertains to the living God. And if he can do that with your kids, and he can do that with your grandkids, and he can do it with your neighbors, he's gonna do it. In fact, we see it all the way back at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? Oh, come on. And what was their heart's desire? Their heart's desire was to begin to say, listen, I want to be like God, knowing good and evil. I want to build my own kingdom. I want to be like him. And they begin to live for themselves. And in that moment starts this battle for wonder. Will we continue to seek after ourselves and build our own kingdom, or will we seek after God and find him and live for him and live in awe and wonder and worship of him? That's the problem. Now, I have three suggestions to you this morning. So if you're a note taker and you want to know where we're at in this message, you could be a note taker. It really helps. So suggestions that will help us understand what the problem is here. As we see with Adam and Eve, they fell for the trap. We fall for traps all the time. Suggestion number one to you is that we have a tendency to wander instead of wonder. We have a tendency, note takers, you can write this down, to wander instead of wonder. Think about all the things in your life and in my life and in our world today that cause us to wonder. Oh, wow. And then cause us to wonder, right? In fact, I looked online and I thought to myself, well, what are the things that people have wondered at over the span of humanity? And some of you know these ones, the seven wonders of the ancient world. And so what are they? Like the Great Pyramids. People actually wondered, like, wow, that's an incredible feat of humanity, right? The Hanging Gardens, the Temple of Artemis of Ephesus. People thought these are so wonderful, they make our list of the seven ancient wonders. And then they thought, well, that list is old. We got to move on. There's other great wonders. And these are the seven new wonders, right? So the Taj Mahal, the Roman Colosseum, the Great Wall of China. These are the seven new wonders. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? We can move on from those. And I feel like these are the new wonders of the world, right? Amazon and Google and Instagram. Like, these are the things that capture our attention today. These are the things that, as we think about the power of getting a package the next day, like literally it comes the next day. I wonder and marvel at that, right? These are the things that nowadays capture our attention. But you know what? You could make a million lists. In fact, there's so many lists on the internet of wonders that we think about and as it pertains to science and technology. The natural wonders of the world, the seven wonders of the underwater world, the seven wonders of the solar system, the seven wonders of medicine. I mean, I thought we wonder at a lot of things. And then I thought to myself, Romans chapter 1, if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I won't ask you to turn very many places this morning, so this is your chance to get those fingers going. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and here's what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. That's so important. It's revealed in them. What may be known about God has been revealed in them. For God has shown it to them. In other words, God isn't trying to hide away and be distant and be far apart. He's actually saying, I'm revealing myself to you. Look at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, right? The things of God that we say, oh, we just can't know. He's saying those, some of those things you can because I've made them clearly visible to you. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That God has said, listen, I've revealed myself to you, in you, and who you are, and in creation, so that you will have no deniability before me, so that you would be without excuse. And look what happens in verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and listened to what they did and think about the idea that we have this propensity to wander instead of wonder. We find lots of things to wonder at. And this is what we do, and this is what they did in 23. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In other words, they worshiped creation instead of the Creator. And my warning and suggestion to us this morning is that we have a propensity to wander around instead of wandering at Jesus. That we oftentimes fall into this very same trap. That those great and glorious things that man has created, Amazon and Google and Instagram, we like, whoa, these are incredible, they're amazing. Or even in nature, the size of that wave, the magnitude of the wave, we will oftentimes get connected to those things instead of connecting ourselves to the Father, that we wander at the wrong things. And I will just tell you, I want to give you just one example that this is made so clear in Scripture. There's this moment where God rescues his people out of Egypt. Do you remember this, right? They were in slavery for many, 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 many years in Egypt. And God sends, remember, he sends these plagues. And he does that so he can rescue his people out of Egypt. And as they're leaving Egypt, remember, he parts the Red Sea and they walk in between the Red Sea. Amazing. Incredible. And when they get out to the desert, they're led by a fire by night, which is mind-blowing, right? That there's this fire in the sky leading God, leading his people. And do you remember what happens? He provides for them with what? Manna from heaven. I mean, that's God showing up in a mighty way. And then there's this moment where Moses goes to the top of Mount Sinai and they don't see him for a number of days. And do you remember what happened? The people's hearts started to change. They started to turn away from God. In fact, here's what Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16 says. But they and their fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, stiff-necked, and did not heed your commands. They refused to obey, listen, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. Those things that they just saw happen in their lifetime. Parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, plagues that rescued you, right? Fire by night, cloud by day. They didn't acknowledge that. And I'm just telling you, we have a propensity to turn our minds elsewhere, to wander instead of wonder. His people, God's chosen people, did that in the desert. And it says this, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to do this. And I can't believe this even happens, right? Here's what they did. They said, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to return to our bondage in Egypt. You talk about wanderers, right? But I wonder how many of us have been in that same situation before where we wandered away from the living God who is worthy of our honor and our praise and our glory. Instead of saying, Lord, I am going to wait on you. I'm going to be patient in you. I'm going to seek after you. God, you are worthy of all praise and honor. John Piper, pastor, author, writer, godly man. Here's what he said. If you don't feel strong desire for the manifestation of the glory of God, in other words, you're not seeking after the Lord and wanting to see that awe and wonder, it's not because you have drawn deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things and there's no room for the great. And I thought, Lord, that's me at times. God, that you have convicted me to my core. There are times when I nibble at the table of the world. I wonder at the things I should not wonder at. I go to the things I should not go to. And instead of just finding complete satisfaction and awe and wonder in you, and maybe that's you this morning, and you're here and you're thinking, yeah, for too long I've been away. For too long I've wandered, and maybe this morning the Lord is calling you back to be in awe and wonder of Him again. You ready for number two? Reason number two, or suggestion number two, why we may be losing the war of awe and wonder is this. We are living busy and distracted lives. Who has time for awe and wonder? We are living busy, distracted lives. Who has time for awe and wonder? You may be sitting there this morning thinking, I don't have time for awe and wonder. I've got to get up and go to work. I've got mouths to feed at home. I've got to take care of those little rats. No, I'm just kidding. Those kids, right? I got to take care of them at home. You don't even know what my life looks like. It is busy, crazy, out of control. And I would just say, yeah, join the party, right? We live these lives. In fact, so oftentimes at Christmas time, one of the messages that will get preached was, make sure you remember the reason for the season. You remember this, right? You've heard it 1,000 times. Like all these busy things that we do, baking and shopping and going to parties and making sure we go to all the church services, right? We have 1 million of them, right? Like it's so busy. But I thought about this. I thought, it just seems now like Christmas is like all the other parts of our life, right? It's almost like, yeah, Christmas is busy, but so is the week after Christmas and the week after that and the week after that. That you could really make a strong argument and say, well, when do I have time for awe and wonder when my life is so fast-paced? And I thought, well, what if it was like you were going on a hike? Okay, you're going on a hike and you've set out your destination and you know where you want to go. And you have a certain amount of time that you have to go on this hike. But I came along on the hike and I said to you, there is a waterfall on that particular hike that you cannot miss. It is gorgeous. It is beautiful. It is breathtaking. When you get there, the amount of water that you see pouring over the side of that cliff, oh, it'll take your breath away. There's a mist with these rainbows that you'll just see throughout. It's totally worth going to see, but it's like off your pathways, right? It's a couple, maybe 20, 30 minutes off path. And when you get there, it will be incredible. It will be awesome and it will be beautiful. Some of you would say, take my breath away. I'll get off the path. And I'll go take the extra hike. Even if it puts me back a ways, it's totally worth it. Some of us, and I say us because I'm probably one of those people, would be like, I've got to stay on the path. I got to get to the destination. I know where I'm going. I don't have time to stop. Send me a picture, right? Or a video. I'll look it up later on YouTube or something. I don't know, right? That some of us live such fast-paced lives, we never take the time for awe and wonder. We never get off the path. We never pause in life to say, God, I need to seek your face. I need to be humble before you. I need to spend time with you. God, I actually do need to experience your awe and your wonder. Much like the psalmist says, when he says, I come and I spend time with you. I think about your works. I think about your wonderful works. When's the last time that we just took that time to say, I want to just think about your wonderful works? In fact, in my own life, the times that I have experienced this awe and wonder have been times when the Lord has spoken to me through His Word by His Spirit. That I open my Word that morning. I don't know when you do it, morning, night, whenever you do it, middle of the day. I open it up in the morning, and there's times when it's like, that's exactly what I needed for today. Right? This is what I'm going through in my life, and You spoke directly to my heart today. And sometimes that's encouragement. Sometimes it's hope. Jeff, there's hope. Sometimes it's correction. But I receive all of that as awe and wonder. Like, God, You are so good that You would speak to me. That You still, as the psalmist says, think about me. Great and vast are Your thoughts towards me. And this morning, Lord, You revealed Yourself in Your Word, awe and wonder. Some of you, it may be like, hey, I get out of the house and I just go for a walk. And I look up to the skies and I say, God, will You speak to me? And there's moments where I feel like God is just present with me, that He's instructing me. Or I take in nature on a hike and I think, God, Your creation is so powerful. But I'm meditating on the things of the Lord, and in that He's bringing awe and wonder. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we taking time off the path to consider Him? Are we getting off life's track and slowing down and saying, God, maybe this morning I need to take some time with You and I need to hear from You. I want to seek after Your face. Where do you find awe and wonder in your life? And how often are you going to that place? And just so we're super clear, God, like that waterfall, think about the waterfall for a second. Whether you get off the path or not, that waterfall is breathtaking and beautiful and powerful and magnificent, right? Whether you decided that day to listen to Jeff and get off the path and go to the waterfall and see it for yourself. In the same way, God's power is not diminished because you didn't get off the path to go seek Him, right? God is still powerful and glorious and magnificent, regardless if you and I decide, hey, we're going to go visit Him today. We're going to take in His awe and wonder. His power is not diminished in any sort of way. And so I would just say, we need to say, Lord, I want to seek Your face today. I believe You are who You say You are, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I believe what the psalmist said is right. You knitted me together in my inmost being. I believe that You have thoughts towards me and You desire relationship with me. So, suggestion number one, we are oftentimes wandering instead of wondering. Suggestion number two is that we live crazy busy lives. Will any one of us decide to say, hey, I need to pause on that and I need to seek after Him? Suggestion number three, final suggestion this morning, is why we may be losing this war on the battle for wonder, is that we are living in sin-filled lives. That there is sin in our lives that are robbing us from awe and wonder of the living God. That sin disconnects us and blinds us to its effects. And oftentimes causes a barrier in our relationship with the one that we are seeking. The one that we desire to have relationship with. And yet we think we can hold on to both. Sin and our relationship with God. Sin and our relationship with God. Adam and Eve experienced it, right? They knew what it was like to live sin-free. And then they knew what it was like to live in sin and the barriers and the disconnection that happened. They began to think, man, I can build my own kingdom. That wasn't even a thought before, right? It was always, I live in relationship with the living God in the coolness of the garden, right? And all of a sudden, now it's like, I have selfish ambition. I desire my own way oftentimes instead of God's way. When we are living life apart from God, it's hard to live with Him. When we're living lives where we're making choices apart from God, it oftentimes is hard to live with Him. In fact, you may have known this from an unhealthy relationship. Don't raise your hands or anything, but you've probably experienced this in an unhealthy relationship where one person in the relationship was only after their own desires, their own will, their own choices, all the time. You know the feeling of that. It's a terrible relationship. It's a terrible feeling that they never even considered the other person ever. That's an unhealthy relationship and hard to sustain over time. In fact, oftentimes in those circumstances, people just separate from each other because they can't take it any longer. Now think about that in your relationship with the Lord. If we're continually seeking after what we want and all we want to do, and we want to build our own kingdoms, and we care nothing about what God cares about or desire anything that He desires, then over time, what happens to that relationship? Certainly not awe and wonder, right? That person's not sitting in glory and awe and wonder of the living God, right? What's happening over time is there's a fracture in that relationship. And maybe that's you this morning, that you would say to yourself, yeah, I've lived life apart from Him for so long that I don't even know how to reconcile with awe and wonder. And I think what we're seeing, if we have to kind of describe what's happening in our culture over time, is that people are slowly saying, I'm going to build my own life. I'm going to build my own kingdom. I'm making my own choices. And apart from the living God. And what's happening is there's a fracture taking place, that people actually are stepping away from relationship or even recognizing that God exists at all. So far away from where the psalmist says, you knit me together in my inmost being. You think about me. You created me. I ponder over how wonderful and glorious you are. Complete separation. And so when we talk about declining of church attendance and declining of Bible study and studying of Scripture and the Word of God and decline of people living for God, we're really just describing people who've said, I'm moving away from that idea and that principle. I've created barriers, and enough barriers to where I even question whether He exists at all. And maybe that's you this morning. Can I just tell you, God's got a plan for you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, here's what it says. And He, that's Jesus, died for all. Even those people who are putting barriers up between them and God. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. There was a plan that you and I would no longer live for ourselves, but instead we begin to live for Jesus, live in relationship with the living God. In fact, in Paul David Tripp's book, it's called Awe, by the way. The book is called Awe. Here's what he says. Sin captures and redirects the motivational system of our hearts. To put that in computer terms, which will just make it even more muddy, is the CPU unit is bugged, right? It's corrupt. He's saying sin actually captures and redirects the motivational system of our hearts, where we generate all our decision making. In a practically life shaping way, sin changes how our hearts operate. Paul, here in this text that we just read, is talking about two opposite perspectives on life. In one, the heart is filled with a vision for what I want for me and my little world. In the other, the heart is filled with wonder at who Christ is and what He has done. Now catch this. Each is driven by awe and wonder. Either awe and wonder for personal glory, or awe and wonder for the glory of Christ. And the question then we ask ourselves is, which kingdom am I building? Which one is getting all my attention and my wonder and my awe? Which one is the one that I am focused on when I get up tomorrow morning? Is it focused on living for God, or is it focused for living for Jeff? And I need to be reminded on a continual basis, if you're like me, that I need to be living for the living God. And in doing that, I will experience awe and wonder as I open up the Word of God and I look at Him and He speaks to me and directs my heart. I will be receiving that awe and wonder that we're talking about this morning. Listen, when we lose this battle of awe and wonder to sin, we no longer live for Jesus, we live for self. And if that's you this morning, God has provided a way for you to walk with Him, to change the trajectory of your life and begin to stepping into relationship with Him. So let's just review quickly, and then we'll close. The first thing, suggestion that I would make in this area of on wonder as we spend time with it over the next 3 weeks, Here's what I'd say. Suggestion number one is that we have a propensity to wander instead of wonder. And we need, some of us this morning would just say, I need to get back on track. I start walking with Him again. Stop wondering at all the wonders of that we have all around us. And just put my attention on the one who deserves all of my awe and wonder. The second suggestion that I would have to you is that, and all of us could make the argument, who has time for awe and wonder, right? We're so busy. I would just suggest to you stepping outside of life path and saying, I actually need to spend some time, like the psalmist says, to meditate on the goodness of God, to consider Him, to think about all that His hand has created and all that He does. The third and final suggestion that I made to you was this. Listen, sin will create barriers to you and I experiencing that awe and wonder with God. And so the answer is Jesus, right? The answer is saying, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I want to turn from those things. I want to turn from those things that are causing that barrier between me and You. And I want to walk wholeheartedly for You. Now, this is Christmas season. And so in the Christmas season, this is a great opportunity to do this, right? Because all the time, everywhere we look, there's reminders of God with us, the hope of glory, right? That Jesus comes down and He spends time with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, we see these words and we'll sing songs. This is the perfect time to say, listen, I want to give my consideration to You, Lord, my awe and wonder to You. I'm going to have the worship team come back out. And as they're coming, I actually have a homework assignment for you. Oh no, I came on the wrong Sunday, right? You don't get a grade for it. There's no grade for it. And no one's checking at the door whether you did it next week or not. God will know though, for sure. And He gives grace and mercy and it abounds. Here and He gives grace and mercy. But here's your homework assignment. Just as the psalmist said it, I meditate on Your works. I meditate on Your wonderful works. Here's your assignment tomorrow, whenever you do it, whether it's in the morning or in the middle of the day or in the night, that you would meditate. That means consider or think about. Meditate on the goodness and wonderfulness of God. And I would encourage you that maybe you would go to one of the accounts of Jesus' birth, and maybe you could just spend some time in that in this Christmas season. But that's the homework assignment. It doesn't have to be that. Maybe you just think, I'm going to make a list of things that I am so thankful for the Lord. And I'm just going to spend some time with that list. And just have a conversation with God. God, You are so good because I do not deserve that. One of the things that stood out to me this week is that He is slow to anger. I just thought, man, God, you could be so angry with me so often. And yet it says in Your word that You're slow to anger, abounding in mercy and grace. And Lord, I am so thankful for that. You could spend some time on that. So that's your homework assignment. Now think about it. If each one of you did the homework assignment, think if there was such thing as a wonder meter, right? If you could measure the wonder in the family of refuge. And everyone throughout all the services this week said, listen, I'm going to do that homework assignment. Think about what would happen to the wonder meter, right? It would grow. And collectively together as the body of Christ, we'd come back next week for this part two of awe and wonder and think, I'm ready. Like, I've got some wonder built up inside of me. So let's be faithful to that this week. God, You are so gracious to us and You're so good to us that even, Lord, when I fall short, Lord, You are still there for me. Your thoughts are still there with me. Even when I don't deserve Your grace and Your mercy, You extend it to me. Lord, You come after me. Lord, You desire relationship with me. And I believe that's true of anyone this morning who would say, I desire a relationship with the living God. And I believe there's some here who would say, I want to experience the awe and wonder. I want to stand in awe and wonder of the living God. And Lord, I believe You would have that happen this morning. I pray over refuge this whole entire weekend, Lord, that You would extend that grace and mercy that we may experience Your presence, Your awe, and Your wonder. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door.